Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Happy New Year. I hope and pray that you are having a blessed, God-pleasing beginning to this new year. Seeing how this is the first day of the new year, the sermon title, if you have seen it there in the bulletin, may sound a little concerning may sound a little bit too soon. How could you possibly be having a rocky start to your new year this early, on the first day? And Lord willing, I hope that you were not. Yet sadly for some of you, some of the sad events of last year may still be weighing heavily on your hearts. Or some of you may have heard disheartening news last night before the ball dropped, ushering in 2017. Again, I hope that is not the case for you, but I also know that it is a sinful world, as you also know. Sin happens. Sad things happen. Heartache happens. It is an unfortunate part of this life. Our text from the Gospel of Matthew finds another unfortunate set of events taking place, only this time for his Lord, for our Lord and his family, Joseph and Mary. While Jesus was an infant, because he was and is God, he knows what it is to have a rocky start. This morning we'll look at the start that Jesus had in his life and how it affected his family, but keeping in mind that because our God has taken on human flesh, we have a God who sympathizes with us. He knows what it is to have a rocky start, who knows what it is to live in a world of sin. He is God not only with us, but for us, even in the midst of the hardest of times. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Our Lord had only been on the earth for less than 2 years. He had not begun to preach or to teach. He was probably just beginning to learn to say a few words. And already, someone despised him. Somebody wanted him dead. He had done something wrong in the eyes of another. Now, granted, most of you are older than 2 years of age, but you have probably had that kind of feeling at least one point in your life where you have met someone or you are related to someone or something along those lines that you just can't help but rub the wrong way. And yet, like Jesus, you may not even have to say a single word. But just for the simple fact that you are in the same country as that person, they find you a nuisance. They find you as someone they want to get rid of and get out of their lives. Now, if you are doing something against your neighbor, then you need to turn, repent, and love your neighbor. But if you've been trying to love that person, or if it's someone that you have just met, and they feel that you are rubbing them the wrong way, then you have the Gospel of Romans chapter 12. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If you are trying to live peaceably with your neighbors, as much as it depends on you, you are trying to live in love toward your neighbor, then you are doing all that you can. And the Lord is pleased with what you're trying to do. At the same time, you have the encouragement and comfort of your Heavenly Father that you can go to Him in prayer. He has promised for the sake of Jesus Christ that He will hear your prayer. And He has promised also that He will work all things together for those who believe in Him. He has the power to change the heart of your neighbor, to help them to love you in return. Sadly, that was not the case for Herod. He died in fear of Jesus and having murdered so many children, so many boys, 2 years of age and under. Scripture doesn't record whether he died in faith, but we do know that he died having attempted to kill Jesus. Our text continues following Herod's death. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life were dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Jesus was not the only one affected by his living in his early years. Even his family, Mary and Joseph, had to go traveling about and moving to this place and that place because of nothing they had done, but simply because their son was Jesus the Christ. While it was an angel of the Lord who was telling them what to do, they may have been wondering, what is God's plan for us? What does he want us to do? Sometimes things happen in one person's life that has effect on other people's lives. You might consider Jonah. Jonah was the one who was called to be the prophet to the city of Nineveh. But at first, he was reluctant. He tried to run away. He tried to flee and took a ship to try to get away. But the Lord caused such a squall to come up that the ship was tossing back and forth in such a way that everyone on the ship was fearing and wondering, what did we do? What did we do to anger God? And finally, Jonah had to admit, it's not because of anything you've done. It's because I'm on the ship with you. Events from the Bible, and especially the ones of the Old Testament, may have us wondering sometimes what we have done or what others around us have done to provoke the Lord, or what the Lord's plan for us even is. And yes, the Lord does have plans for us even today, but he alerts us to them in different ways than he did in the times of the Scriptures. In the cases of Jonah and Joseph and Mary, we know what God desired because it is written in his word. He tells us exactly what was going on. Today, we don't have the luxury of God telling us exactly what he wants us to do. Yet at the same time, and in some ways, he doesn't need to. As was mentioned earlier this holiday season, the Bible was composed not to show us the history of every single living person, but to follow a particular line, the line of salvation. The salvation that would be brought about by Joseph and Mary's child, Jesus the Christ. Joseph and Mary and the child Jesus went and lived in a city called Nazareth. That was what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the second time the prophecy was fulfilled directly concerning Jesus himself. The other time mentioning Egypt. And it was the third prophecy to be fulfilled concerning his life. As does also the passage concerning Rachel and her children. These prophecies were made in the Old Testament about what would happen in the New Testament. But again, the Bible wasn't written to give every fact about every person who ever lived. It was written to show the line leading to the one who would bring about salvation of all of humanity, including you. That salvation would occur through Jesus by his fulfilling every prophecy of the Old Testament, including these three, and by his dying on the cross of Calvary as the suffering servant that Isaiah had prophesied. So the Bible tells us what God was thinking about certain things and how he worked everything together for Jesus. But what about us? What about you? Well, God has you in mind as well. He just may not be directing you in as specific ways as he did in the Old Testament, as Jesus' ancestors. God has promised through Jesus that he would not leave you or forsake you until the end of the age. At the same time, God has given you and me a lot of freedom. Freedom to learn the skills and talents that he has given us. Freedom to learn to use those skills and talents and occupations that sometimes we have the freedom to choose. Freedom to love each other. And in some cases, freedom to choose someone to love for the rest of your life as a spouse. He has given you freedom to live as his forgiven child. If you have chosen your job, work at it as though you're working for the Lord in the new year. If you have met someone and have made the vow to be with him or her to the end of your life, then be with him or her for the end of your life. God did not tell you to marry that specific person. However, you have vowed before him that you would be with them until death. And it is God-pleasing that you do so, that you live in love with your spouse until death do you part. All vows that you have made to God concerning your spouse or concerning confirmation are ones that He desires that you uphold. This is God-pleasing and a way to live as a forgiven child of God. It was for your freedom that Jesus went to Egypt and was called a Nazarene and was at the cross of Calvary and was raised that third day. Live the freedom that He has given you. The freedom to live without fear because you have the forgiveness of sins. Live that freedom this year in 2017 and into life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.